Hello, my name's Kate Rolls and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you're taking part in Anthony Gormley's new artwork, One Another. The date today is the 23rd of August 2009 and the time is 7:20 p.m. If I can please ask you to say your full name, your age and where you're from.
My name is Anthony Nicholas Grimley. I am 35 and I'm currently living in Bath.
Okay. And where are you from originally?
I'm from a place called Honiton, which is near Exeter in Devon.
Okay. And how are you today?
I'm very hot. It's very hot in the interview room. I'm all right, actually. I started off having quite a nervous day, nervous night's sleep, a bit restless, and then spent the day walking around London. I travel up today, so it's been nice to get out in the fresh air and actually just wander around Trafalgar Square to chill out and cool down before going up there.
Good. And what was it that motivated you to apply to be part of One Another?
Weirdly, Anthony Gormley's name, because my name's Anthony Grimley, and that sort of, I don't know, click with me. That was a similarity. I thought, well, that'd be interesting, having someone with a similar name on a plinth. It was something to do, something out of the ordinary, something I wouldn't necessarily do, and something I had to force myself to do, because it's, I think there are quite lots of introvert people that would go for it, and it's an opportunity for them to kind of come out of their shell, do something out of the ordinary, something different, something that they wouldn't have an opportunity to do elsewhere necessarily. So this was perfect to go for.
Great. And do you think of yourself as an introverted person?
A bit and not. Other people, I think, the perception of me is quite an extroverted, outgoing guy, but I'd say I have my insecurities and I'm quite introverted. So this is a kind of, every once in a while I'll pop out and, you know, go a bit mad, crazy, go and do something strange.
And so what did you decide to do on the plinth today?
Deciding what to do was probably the most difficult thing, because when you say you've got a place, the possibilities are enormous, endless, multitude, infinite. You've got to narrow that down to something possible, because there's a finite amount of space. You're only so far away from a crowd. There's no electrical power. So I wanted to put on a show. I think lots of people are on the plinth to read books, which is fine just to be themselves, but I think because it's an artwork and because it's a pedestal for people to look at, I wanted to do a show, something that was different, out of the ordinary, something would entertain and amuse, even if it was just to raise a smile for a fraction of a second when people are in the square or looking online or watching the TV program or listening to the archive, maybe. Something out of the ordinary. I was thinking about shows. One of the ideas I had was dressing up as the Queen, growing a beard, being a bit of a rowdy old Queen, you know, kind of get out of my London sort of thing. And I thought I couldn't keep that up for an hour, and that's perhaps not entertaining enough. One idea I had a while back was there are lots of one-man shows of things. Somebody's done a Star Wars one-man stand-up, and that was really good. I was thinking of doing that, but obviously it's already gone. Last year I thought about Rocky Horror Picture Show and how I've never seen or heard of one person doing all the parts. And I just happened to have the soundtrack without the vocals on, and I figured it would take 50 minutes to run the whole lot. So I thought I would sing all the Rocky Horror songs back to back. There are 18 tracks, 10 characters, and I'd try and play them all, which even think about now is probably a crazy idea, but if you're going to do something special, if you're going to put yourself out there, why not go the whole hog?
And so this is what you're going to do on the plinth today?
That's right. It sounds a bit like Stars in the Rise. Tonight, Matthew, I shall be all the characters from Rocky Horror. So yes, I will be dressing up, and which was really difficult to go and get the costume on, and because it's not something I would normally do, and I have no idea why women wear makeup and suspenders, because it's a lot of hard work and very expensive. So yeah, I'll be dressing up and I'll be changing wigs and I'll be hot and sweaty, and hopefully my voice won't be flat and people can hear me.
And how are you feeling about doing this?
Right now, because we're in the interview just talking mano a mano in a closed room away from everything else, quite calm. I think I'll get quite excited. I'm worried about seeing flat, getting the wrong notes, getting the words wrong. I've got a cheat sheet, like a comfort blanket, which I'm going to take with me just for bits that I find difficult. So I don't want to mess up. I don't want to let people down. If I let myself down, that's fine. I don't want people to miss out on the enjoyment of somebody stumbling over their words or being very quiet. So I'm kind of looking forward to it, kind of nervous, but it's a good nervous now.
And you've chosen to do the Rocky Horror Show. Are you a hardcore Rocky Horror fan?
No, I am not. My brother showed me, well, made me sit and watch part of the film when I was younger, and I didn't like it at all. And then I watched it again, and it was kind of less rubbish in my eyes. And then the more I watched it, the more I kind of liked it. It was a bit kooky, a bit strange, a bit, looked a bit amateurish, but having watched it and had to rehearse it and watch it so many times, it seemed to get better and better. So it's been quite interesting. I think it's a great film. The more you watch it, the better it gets.
And what do you like about it?
It's different and it's weird and it's odd. The music's actually very good. Certainly the film version, I've seen it live with my mum, good old mum, and it was great. The film is great. The live show is great because it kind of strikes a chord with people wanting to do something strange and extraordinary. Of course, music will bind people together and you know, the whole audience will connect with it and do strange things and interact. It is the number one interactive movie, really. So hopefully there might be people bopping along or at least smiling along at home.
And are you a performer yourself?
Not really. I think the last time I did something like this was at school. We did Jesus Christ Superstar, and I was in the sick form, so I must have been about 18 years old, and I found that very difficult. There was a note I couldn't get in there, and I beat myself up for it. So this is like cathartic, I think, getting out there and doing it again. But it's been a long time, so I've had to try and sing. I've been in my room, doors closed, music up, trying to teach myself to sing. I didn't want to go to a vocal coach and do the expenses on that. I wanted to do it all myself. So it's going to be a one-man show start to finish. So I'll stand or fail by my own, you know, recourse.
And what kind of experience do you hope to get out of taking part in one another?
What experience? Just a bit of fun. I mean, that's all it, I think. Yeah, I think that's what I want from it. I want a bit of fun for me, to do something different. To maybe just make people smile for maybe a fraction of a second. That's all you need, just to make people smile.
We've spoken now about what you're going to do on the plinth.
Yeah.
Can we now speak a little bit about you, and if I can ask you to say a little bit about you, the person who's on the plinth tonight?
Let me see. I'm called Ant to my friends. I think only my gran died, I think, last year, a year before. My mum will tell me off for not remembering the exact date. She was about the only person who called me Anthony anymore. Most of my friends call me Ant. So I think I'm quite a fun person, good to get on with. I think, as I said earlier, I'm a bit introverted, but people perceive me being extroverted. Certainly doing something like what I'm going to do on the plinth will make people think I'm more extrovert, but I've been beating myself up over it for weeks. So I've got to stop doing it. It's the old interview thing, isn't it? Sorry. I did student TV at university because I wanted to do some performing and stop saying a lot. So I've done interviews and things like that. I kind of have an interest in TVs and movies and things like that. That sort of interests me. The whole gamut. Performing, behind the camera, editing, directing, that sort of thing, it always appealed to me. Drying up now, aren't I? So this plinth thing is a means to end, a kind of an expression of just getting there and performing. It's something that strikes a chord with me throughout my life that's been interesting, performing, whether it's puppet shows when I was a kid, when I'm older, just goofing around in the office. Yeah, so it's a bit of my life is just doing something odd and strange and entertaining people, making people smile.
Okay. What do you do for a living?
At the moment, I'm a website manager, which is one of those made-up internet titles. I look after a host of websites in creative and photography at the moment. The company I've been in is a magazine publishing company, and I've been there since university, so about 11 years now, working on the internet. But it's given me great opportunities. There are good companies to work for. I've had the opportunity to go and do extras work in film and TV. So there's still that strand of getting and performing. So I've done a bit of background, not much, but it's been quite fun. They're a good company because they'll let me go and do that.
And what extras have you been in films?
The only film I've done is Pearl Harbor, Michael Bay film. I got to wear a moustache, which was quite nice. I didn't have to grow one, that was glued on. And I think I'm in the trailer, but you can't really see me in the rest of the film. But the experience was great, with hundreds of people and Spitfires. And what was unexpected for me, I was playing an air commander as a, you know, World War, was thinking about the actual people that were in the war. And that was something I wasn't expecting. I just thought it was, you know, turn up, put on a nice costume, run around the field. But what I was actually thinking was, in the war, there were people my age and younger going out and fighting. So that was an interesting experience for me. I've also done other war films, things for Channel 4, well, one or two. It's a documentary called 10 Days to D-Day about personal lives of people that are in the war. So again, there's a kind of a war theme going on. But in that one, I got to dress up as Canadians and Americans and German soldiers. So again, it made me think about a more rounded view of war and conflict and the people actually involved in it. And we had to go out into the sea in October when it's freezing cold. And you think, well, I'm not really getting shot at, and I can deal with this. But it's interesting to be in front of the camera rather than watching the film at home. It kind of strikes a chord with you more, I think, if you've had part of the experience and put yourself there. So it'd be interesting to see what the plinth is like, having watched it online before I'm actually up there.
What are your passions?
Passions? Photography. Don't know why. My auntie, my dad's sister, bought me a little camera, a little leather bound one. Actually, it was hers, and the light meter was broken. She gave me that, and it got me interested in photography, and I got an SLR at 18. I still do a bit of photography now and then. The company I work for does photography magazine, so that's been a good mix with that. I love special effects and films. The whole behind the scenes stuff, anything from Star Wars, because I kind of grew up with Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, E.T., so George Lucas, Steven Spielberg, Dennis Muren, Industrial Light and Magic. I love the behind the scenes stuff. Jim Henson, the Muppets. You know, I've tried to do effects myself, make latex prosthetics and Muppets, and I put on puppet shows when I was younger. So it's the whole performing still kind of gels with me.
Mm. And can you say a little bit about your upbringing, about sort of the experiences that you've had that have shaped you?
Sure, I think I had, well, I didn't have a bad upbringing, but my dad was a policeman, so we had to move quite a lot during my formative years. He'd get posted in different places around Devon, so I've lived in, see, Honiton and Brixham and Paignton and Torbay and then in Plymouth. So I found that quite disruptive, and I found it quite difficult to make friends because we weren't in the place for very long, especially when I was at a place to make friends. I was kind of academically quite good, but as I moved around schools, that was quite disruptive. I moved to a school where there was less focus on academic achievement, so I found that quite frustrating. I think I found my IQ dropping, but I also found new friends, new people to meet, so it was quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think that still haunts me, that I've had to move around, but then I've seen a lot, so I take both sides of it.
Yeah. And what taught you to live where you are now?
Bath. I went to the University of Bath. I did a biology degree. I had to make a choice in A-level between one of the sciences and an art. And it was quite difficult because those subjects clashed. I took biology, chemistry, but I needed physics to get into Bath University. And that clashed with the art. I wanted to take art. And my art teacher was quite upset when I couldn't take it, and so was I. So I passed the sciences. I scraped through physics because we had more fun in physics than actually doing proper work. And went to the University of Bath, Bath is a wonderful place, and it sucks you in. It's wonderful people, wonderful architecture. The university is fantastic. Even more so now, it's all sports villaged up. And I've made good friends there. I did move away for a little while, but then I came back and I've been there ever since. It's a wonderful place, and it kind of sucks you back in.
Mm-hmm. And what are your ambitions?
Since I was very young, I wanted to do the sort of stuff that David Attenborough did. I've always had an interest in biology and nature, particularly animals. I did a little work experience at the Natural History Unit in Bristol, which was good fun. That's always interested me. I wouldn't mind doing my own little natural history show. Films and TV have always interested me as well, mostly big blockbusters. I wouldn't mind acting, that sort of thing. I think everyone seems to harbour a dream about it, but I'd like to be discovered rather than have to do most of the hard work and have to fly my trade and get out there.
Okay, and lastly, what's important to you going forwards now in your life? What's important?
Family's always been important. Family always takes precedence. And I've got a great family and we always have wonderful get-togethers. Usually at funerals, and we're always happy and smiling and having parties, and people commented on the photos we take at funerals as a family and say, "Why? Oh, that was a wedding or something you're happy at?" No, it was a funeral where we all get together and all kind of celebrate as a family. So the family's always important. Friends, friends are always important. Those are always in my thoughts. Funnily enough, going on holidays, I quite enjoy going on holidays. My boyfriend and I go to Japan and things like that, and the States, and travel a lot. So getting out and experiencing things is a big part of my life.
Mm. Is there anything else you'd like to add about yourself or taking part in one another?
Dad, I'm sorry I'm dressing up in drag, but I think the rest of the boys have already done it before me. So I think I'll get a bye on this one.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.